Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
To another episode of the Whistler Podcast with your host Mel. I am Mel, and tonight we'll be featuring 12 Portraits of Marcia, originally aired January 21st, 1948. I'll be here to keep you company and walk you through another episode and share my insight and offer some trivia about what was going on when this episode originally aired, which was January 21st, 1948. Tonight we're cracking open another mystery from the Whistler's Golden Vault, and this one's a masterclass in domestic tension and artistic obsession. Tonight's episode is brought to you by my sponsor, Cozy Earth, offering beautiful home essentials, sheets, linens, beautiful towels, clothing, and more. Stick around after the episode ends, and I'll give you the coupon code for a substantial discount. Tonight's story from the Whistler is one for anyone who's ever wondered what goes on behind the closed door of an artist's studio. It's a story about love, obsession, and the terrifying truth that can be hidden in plain sight on a canvas. Let's meet our players. First, we have Ralph Winston, struggling painter. He's a classic tortured artist, all brooding intensity and wild dreams of fame. He's convinced of his own genius, but the world just hasn't caught up yet. He's reached that dangerous point where frustration is starting to curdle into something much darker. Then we have his muse, Marcia. She's the picture of devotion, fresh-faced, eager, and utterly in love with Ralph. She sat for him tirelessly for 12 different portraits, believing in his talent even when he doesn't. She's the kind of woman who would do anything for the man she loves, which in this world can be a very dangerous thing to be. And finally, we have Sidney Selfton, a sophisticated and powerful art dealer. He's a man who knows the price of everything, including a good story. He arrives on the scene like a deus ex machina, offering Ralph everything he's ever wanted: fortune, fame, and legitimacy. But you get the sense that Sidney isn't just an art lover, he's a chess player, and he's always thinking three moves ahead. Put these three together in a shabby studio, and you get a pressure cooker of ambition, desperation, and the dark secrets that a series of paintings can reveal. This is a story that asks, what is the true price of success? And what happens when your biggest patron might also be your most dangerous critic? So let's step into the gallery and take a closer look. This is the 12 Portraits of Marcia.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. Rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history. And Signal gasoline is tops, too. Tops in quality. It takes extra quality, you know, to give you extra mileage. And Signal is the famous go-farther gasoline. So look for the Signal circle sign in yellow and black that identifies friendly dealer-owned Signal stations from Canada to Mexico. And now, the Whistler's strange story. 12 Portraits of Marcia.
The late afternoon sun slanted through the skylight behind Marcia, making a halo of her hair as she sat, legs crossed, on the model's platform. Ralph paused a moment, looked past the canvas he was painting, his 12th portrait of Marcia, studied her fresh, eager face, then back to the picture again, touching up the mouth, the delicate nose, the luminous eyes.
Ralph, darling, I meant
to... Hold your pose, Marcia. I told you, I'm almost finished.
Sorry, darling. At least when it's over, you won't snap at me. You're always pleasant after a portrait's done.
Why not? To begin a painting is to sell yourself into slavery. The only way out is to finish. Just a few moments, I'll be free again.
Yes, Ralph, you'll be free. The picture is nearly complete. One stroke more, and loyal, loving Marcia, who would never take a penny for her hours of tireless posing, will never pose again.
Ralph?
Yes?
Supposing someone offered you $1,000 for a picture.
Don't talk such rot. I'm a failure and you know it.
That's not such a wild dream. Through with me?
Yeah, that does it. All through. You can relax now.
Oh, I don't know if I can stand up. I've been sitting with my leg crossed under me for so long. Help me up, will you?
My mind is just as cramped as your leg.
Oh, always the temperamental genius. Oh, well, someday you'll be rich and famous and I'll be your wife, so why should I complain? What about dinner, darling?
Well, I'll have to run out and get something.
You know, the only reason you're not famous is publicity, dear. People just don't know about you. I decided it's time I did something.
Sardines and wine in the kitchen. I'll go get some cheese. Excuse me? I'll have to consult the treasury.
Oh, Ralph, you never listen to me. I was about to tell you.
It's strange that Marcia should hit on it. Today of all days, now that you've decided to do it. Publicity, Ralph. Something that will tell the whole world of you and your paintings. Headlines.
Great artistic talent uncovered when model commits suicide. Foul play suspected. Artist may be brought to trial. Ralph Winston.
Winston, eh? Have to look him up.
You're perspiring now as you pull open the drawer of the battered dresser in your room, fumble for the little store of currency under the pile of handkerchiefs, and your gun with its black handle towards your hand. You realize it could happen now, Ralph. There couldn't be a better time. You'll tell them that you went out for groceries, and when you return...
You don't mind if I rest a minute, do you, Ralph? Thought I'd stretch out here on the couch while you're gone.
No. Go right ahead.
Oh, you're so moody, Ralph. You used to want to celebrate when you finished a painting. Now you look as if...
Yes, Marcia.
As if you wanted to... Ralph, don't!
You press the gun into her hand, wrap her fingers around the handle. Everything is right, Ralph. Right down to the powder burns on the blouse. A half hour later, you're on your way back to the studio with a package of cheese and a few other things for dinner in your arms. The lights are on when you get there. You have visitors, Ralph. You stop for a minute. Get hold of yourself. You know you must be careful now. Careful of everything, even of the way you breathe.
What? What's going on?
Oh, you're Ralph Winston?
That's right. What's the matter?
I'm afraid I have bad news for you, Mr. Winston. Inspector Sean, homicide detail.
Homicide?
Over there on the couch.
What? Marcia! Marcia, why'd you do it?
She was your model, wasn't she?
I just finished her picture.
Yeah, we saw it over there on the easel. Any idea why she'd kill herself?
She threatened to several times. We were going to be married if I could ever make enough of my painting to support her. It seemed hopeless.
Where have you been?
I just left her a while ago. I went to the store for some things for dinner. See here, how'd you get here so soon? How did...
This gentleman, Mr. Selton.
Sidney Selton, Ralph. The art dealer. You've heard of me, eh?
Yes, of course.
Mr. Selton was coming up to see your paintings. He had a letter.
From Marcia, Ralph. A rather unusual letter, you know. As a rule, I ignore requests from people who want me to look at paintings. But this one, there was something different about it.
Marcia sent it?
Something so sincere and intelligent and selfless about her letter, you know? Yes, it was different. I was as interested in seeing Marcia's and seeing the paintings. Matter of fact, just looked at some of your things scattered around the room here and found them. Not bad at all, not bad at all.
Thanks, Mr. Selton.
Call me Sidney, Ralph. Sidney will do for us. I think we're going to see a lot of one another. I get a big kick out of helping a young artist.
You can be thankful, Sid. Mr. Selton arrived when he did, Winston. You might have been in something of a jam.
What do you mean?
Under suspicion. Mr. Selton was on his way up when he heard the shot. Rushed in to find Marcia dead and called us.
Oh, so that's how it was.
Now, here we are, gentlemen. Oh, this is the Herald photographer, Ralph. Let's let him take some shots, eh? Can't do any harm, and who knows, eh? Who knows? Yes, it'll be all right, my good man. You may take your pictures. Always glad to cooperate with the press.
Oh, wait a minute.
Now,
I don't...
see over here by the easel, Ralph, looking at your last picture of Marcia. Nothing like a picture, you know. Picture tells 1,000 words and all that.
Oh, Inspector, don't you think I shouldn't...
No reason why you can't go ahead. Coroner will be here in a minute, and we'll all clear out.
Now, get the idea, my man. The artist here, Ralph Winston. W-I-N-S-T-O-N. Got it?
Got it.
Now... he's looking at the last picture he painted of the model, who shot herself because no one would buy the pictures so they could get married. Very tragic affair, very tragic. Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A. Got it?
Got it.
Very beautiful girl, attractive, intelligent, a fashionable school, Vassar, all kinds of money, giving it all up to be with the man she loved, believed in, and wanted to help.
Got it. Hold on, Mr. Winston. That's it.
And that's your story, gentlemen. Selton discovered the girl while on way to make deal with Winston to present his pictures to the public. It would have made him famous and able to marry the girl. Ah, got the ironic twist, gentlemen?
Got it.
Good. Now, excuse us a moment. I want a few words with Mr. Winston.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Come now. Now.
It was a pretty cheap stunt.
Good publicity, my boy. Be sure to look me up in the morning.
You're assuming a lot, Mr. Selton.
Sidney will do my boy. Sidney between you and me. And I'm not assuming anything. You've got a good head on your shoulders. Ought to recognize the expedient move when you see it.
What if I don't?
No, none of that. Oh, I could see it all, Ralph. Page one, pictures, headlines, all of it. The moment I... the opportune moment, I might say, when I arrived at your studio tonight. Well, you wouldn't consider any... other arrangements now, would you, Ralph? Oh, you will let me help you.
I'll be at your gallery tomorrow.
Good, good. First thing in the morning, bright and early, eh?
All right, Mr. Selton.
Sidney, my boy. S-I-D-N-E-Y. Got it?
With the prologue of 12 Portraits of Marcia... the Signal Oil Company is bringing you another strange story by The Whistler. If you've been reading the ads about the new 1948 cars, and who hasn't, you've no doubt noticed the emphasis that's being placed on gasoline mileage. Mileage that's the result of increased engineering efficiency. Well, that's especially interesting to us at Signal, because Signal gasoline has long been famous for mileage. Mileage that's the result of that same engineering principle. Because today's Signal gasoline helps your motor run more efficiently. And of course, when your motor runs more efficiently, you also enjoy quicker starting, faster pickup, and smoother knock-free power.
That's why in gasoline, mileage is really your best yardstick of performance. And it's why Signal says to be sure of the tops in gasoline quality. There are just two things to remember. One, in gasoline, it takes extra quality to go farther. And two, Signal is the famous go farther gasoline. And now back to the Whistler.
Seems as if you tell the story 100 times, doesn't it, Ralph? To the reporters, to the police officials, to the coroner when he arrives. So often that you almost believe Marcia did commit suicide while you were out of the apartment. But though at long last it's over, the fear of Sidney Selfton keeps you awake, tense, wondering how he could have heard the shot and yet not seen you leave the apartment. Finally, at 9 the next morning, you walk into his office, and he takes you into a private gallery behind the main display room. You decide you're going to put it to him directly.
Well, Ralph, right on time. I like to see that.
How are you, Sidney?
Exultant, to put it mildly. Have you seen the papers? You and Marcia all over the front page. Biggest story since the Hall Mills case, eh? Sit down, my boy.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
Oh, lots of things to be done, my boy. If we're to have a showing of your pictures next week. Strike while the iron and all that, eh?
I see. Maybe you could clear up something for me, Sidney.
Why, of course.
Tell me, did you see me come out of my studio last night?
See you? Why, no.
You're sure you heard the shot on your way up?
A shot? Well, who can tell? I heard an explosion. It might have been a blowout, car backfiring. Who can tell?
But I thought...
The important thing is you and I, Sidney and Ralph, making lots of money. Lots of money. Okay with you, eh? So, we must have a show very soon. Strike while the iron.
Yes, you said that.
Oh, yes, so I did. Which means you need new clothes. Now, here, I've prepared a check. It's in here somewhere. I just signed it a moment ago.
You, keep that thing around all the time?
Hmm? What thing?
That revolver.
Oh, well, can't be too careful, my boy. Occasionally have pictures of great value around here. Things which don't require publicity to sell. Always keep it here, ready and loaded. Let's see. Oh, yes, here we are. A check for $500, my boy. Call it an advance. Clothes are what you need. Clothes make the man and all that, eh? Here you are.
You're sure you'll get it back on my first showing?
We'll double it on the first picture we sell. Nothing to it after this fortunate publicity. And the pictures. Works of art. Ah, oh, Ralph, you're a lucky man. We're lucky, lucky people.
I'm still a little dazed.
Well, naturally. Now, how many canvases have you done?
Oh, about 50.
And how many of Marcia?
Well, 12. I just finished the 12th last night.
Good, good. Lucky, lucky. Worth a weight in gold.
You show them all at once?
Oh, good heavens, no. No, first, a harmonious variety of your things. One or two landscapes, seascapes, 4 Marcias. I'll be out to help you this afternoon.
Oh, good.
Now, you'd better run along and get those clothes. A couple of suits and things. Tweedy. Yes, be good and tweedy for the first showing. Boyish and tweedy, and, you know, not too prosperous yet. Oh, and be sure to smoke a pipe, right?
Right.
And that's the way it is, Ralph. Sidney taking over and running your life. And it's all right with you, isn't it? Yes. The big day with the public viewing your paintings for the first time is almost too much to believe. You stand shyly on the sidelines, dressed in smoky brown tweed, a black mourning band on your arm, thrilling inwardly with every bit of comment and praise, watching admiringly as Sidney handles the smartly dressed society women.
Oh, Mr. Selfton.
Yes, Mrs. Andrews.
I think it was simply vile of you not to give me a chance to buy Marcia 1945.
My dear Mrs. Andrews, everyone wants to buy the Marcia paintings. They were all sold almost before we opened the galleries this morning.
Oh, dear.
Oh, now, if you'll excuse me,
yes,
please.
Yes, of course.
Oh, Ralph?
Yes?
May I see you a moment? In here, please. Well, Ralph. Congratulations. The show has been a success.
Has been?
I've sold everything on the wall.
Oh, that's fine, Sidney.
From now on, we play host to curiosity seekers and future buyers, eh?
Yeah, I guess that's right. But what if the critics...
Critics? Oh, if the critics knew anything about art, they'd be in the business of buying and selling it, wouldn't they?
I suppose so.
I know so. Now, don't you worry about the critics, Ralph. Just think about our next showing in, shall we say, 2 weeks?
And you do forget the critics, don't you, Ralph? You pay no attention when they call your work calendar art. There's too much praise from other sources, too much money to be spent. When it's gone, you're impatient with Sidney, anxious for him to conduct the second showing of your paintings. But 6 weeks go by before he finally selects another group of pictures. You sleep soundly the night before the display, and then open the morning paper on news that shocks you into a fury, sends you rushing to Sidney's gallery.
All right. Don't tear the building down.
I'll kick the door in if you don't hurry.
Well, Ralph, so anxious to get in to
Sidney,
see you.
What's the meaning of this? In the paper.
Come in, Ralph.
Now, listen to this. Sidney of Selfton, art dealer, might find he has reopened the case of the beautiful artist model Marcia when he suggested to this columnist that after much consideration, he was no longer certain that the explosion he heard on the night of the suicide came from the studio of Ralph Winston. This could suggest to the police that Marcia was dead before Selfton arrived on the scene and a new investigation might result. Well, Sidney, how could you do this to me?
There, Ralph. Here, let me have a look. Here, does it mention the show we're opening today?
Sidney.
Oh, yes, they got it straight. Mm-hmm. Selfton Galleries, 9 o'clock. You showing 25 canvases, 4 more portraits of Marcia.
Sidney, do you mean to tell me that you...
What's the matter, Ralph? They got all the details straight.
Well, yes.
I have a terrific investment in you, my boy. Terrific.
But what happens to me?
Nothing, Ralph. Nothing. I simply inform the police if and when they question me that I was misquoted. I might even suggest that the columnist had been drinking.
It better work.
It will. But now, look at yourself, my boy. Now, get along home. Don the morning coat and the striped trousers. You're the success type for this one, Ralph. Definitely the success type.
You feel successful, don't you, Ralph? Successful and sure of yourself again, as you stand around bowing politely, accepting the congratulations of the excited, wealthy dilettantes who throng the gallery to admire and criticize and buy. The second showing is almost as successful as the first, but this time the money doesn't last even as long. And as the weeks slip past, you press Sidney to hurry the third showing, but he keeps postponing it again and again until you're almost desperate. And then one night your telephone rings.
Yes?
Ralph, my boy, I want you to come over.
About the showing?
Yes. I thought we'd have it in the little gallery here at my office.
But do you think that's
large? You're going to say it isn't large enough, but it is. I want this to be a private showing, just you and me.
What?
Can you come over right away?
Yes, Sidney. Right away. Now, Sidney, what is all this nonsense? You're not going to pull any more stunts like last time.
Did that bother you so much, Ralph?
It's just that the memory of Marcia is sacred to me.
Of course I understand. Sacred.
That's right. And while we're on the subject, Sidney, whatever became of all the portraits of Marcia that you sold? Who bought them?
Oh, a customer.
Funny customer. Always managed to buy them all before the show's open.
I spoke of a private showing, didn't I, Ralph? Let's go inside.
What?
Wait a moment, I'll get the light.
Why do you... Sidney, what does this mean? All the portraits of Marcia, all 12 of them, hung side by side.
Is it so strange? You got a fair price. If I wanted to buy them, that was my business, eh?
Sidney, what are you trying to do?
Such an admirable person, Marcia. These portraits provide physical proof of the image that I formed of her while reading her letter.
This is incredible.
These 12 portraits tell me so much about the girl and about you. She was good, kind, beautiful, through and through. Now, this first portrait, Marcia, 1944, shows that you were in love when you painted it.
Yes, I was.
You idealized her beyond reality, the pinks and the blues and the gentle sunlight gliding through her hair. No woman could be so beautiful except the man in love with her.
Beautiful experience.
And Marcia, early 1945... You began to look on her more as a playmate. In spring 1945, ecstasy, blinding golden light, a look of joy and expectation on her face.
It was the most beautiful spring I'll ever know.
She was so wonderful, you didn't want to paint another thing. You see, two more canvases, almost identical.
So?
Then, a long pause in the series, Ralph. You didn't paint Marcia again until the following winter. You were tired of her.
What is this, Sidney? Black magic?
No, it's all there, Ralph, you see? You tried to see her again as you first saw her, but you failed. You no longer loved her. Ah, poor Marcia. A photograph would have been more just.
What's all this leading up to, Sidney?
Don't you think it clever of me to deduce so much information from paint on canvas?
Oh, very clever, Sidney. Go ahead. I won't interrupt you again.
Oh, there isn't much more. Now, here you grow panicky. The worry over a promise to marry a woman you didn't love. Your mind was straying here, groping wildly.
I paint as I please.
Oh, obviously. But such caricature. So grotesque, Ralph. Why, the only happy picture is this one, number 11, showing Marcia saying goodbye in the doorway. Would you have been so happy to see her leave?
Never mind that.
Nothing becomes more hateful than an unwanted woman, eh? Ah, poor little Marcia. And in this last portrait, you were spiteful and cruel. You put her in a tight-fitting green satin dress, her lips a flaming red slash across her face, and her eyes, you painted them a weak and watery blue.
Sidney.
Oh, Marcia, Marcia, how could he ever do this to you?
Sidney, you fool, I actually believe you've fallen in love with Marcia.
In love? In love with Marcia? No. No, I could hardly fall in love with a room full of pictures. No, Marcia doesn't exist. I can't love her, Ralph. But I can hate the man who murdered her.
Murdered? Well, Sidney, you yourself said you heard the shot when I was blocks away.
I was mistaken, Ralph, and you know it.
You shouldn't have said that, Sidney. You should never have used the word murder.
Wait, what are you doing? What do you want in my desk?
Only your gun, Sidney.
Ralph, you're making a terrible mistake.
No, Sidney, you made the mistakes. First in telling me about this gun, second in making this showing so completely...
Oh, Ralph!
Private...
Ralph!
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. Meantime, in place of the message about Signal gasoline usually heard at this point on the Whistler, Signal Oil Company is giving this time tonight for an announcement in the interest of public health. Have you ever asked yourself what you would do if infantile paralysis would strike someone in your home? The treatment is long, the average cost over $2,000. Fortunately, however, you wouldn't have to worry about cost. For today, the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis guarantees every victim of this dread disease, regardless of age, race, creed, or color, the immediate scientific care which alone can prevent tragic crippling. And where does the foundation get the millions of dollars needed for this great mission of mercy? Why, from the dimes that you contribute during the annual March of Dimes. When you consider that last year those dimes took care of over 10,000 victims of infantile paralysis, you can realize how much every contribution counts. So let's all get into the march. Drop into an envelope whatever you can spare, a few dimes or a few dollars. Then mail it tomorrow morning to the March of Dimes headquarters in your city. Now back to the Whistler.
There was no other way out, Ralph. As you sat at the desk watching Sidney move from picture to picture, his eyes glowing as he described Marcia, as he uncannily guessed your changing feelings toward her, instinctively followed the winding road that you and Marcia traveled, full of sunlight and brightness at first, finally plunging downhill into the dark valley of murder. Yes, there was no other way but to kill Sidney, too. And now, moving like a man in a dream, you find yourself going through it all again, exactly as you did with Marcia. You walk forward, bend over him, press the gun into his hand. And then suddenly the room is filled with a blinding light. A flash gun, Ralph. And as you sense a movement behind the heavy drapes.
What? Very good, Joe. A perfect picture, perfect.
Huh?
Here, Ralph, help me up.
What?
You can come out now, Joe. Let Ralph meet the press. That's it, my boy.
Sidney, what is this? What are you trying to do?
All done, my boy. One picture, 1,000 words. The camera eye doesn't lie and all that. Oh, here's your caption, Joe. You ready?
Sure.
Art dealer traps murderer at midnight rendezvous. Yes, that's good. Midnight rendezvous. You got it?
But listen, Sidney, you can't.
Tut, tut, my boy. I'm not through yet. Picture shows killer duplicating original murder plan. Modus operandi. That's a good phrase. Use that one, Joe.
Sidney?
Blank cartridges save life of dealer on eve of final showing at Selton Galleries. S-E-L-F-T-O-N. Got it?
Got it.
That's all now. You've got a deadline to meet. You better run along.
Thanks, Mr. Selton. Oh, so long, Winston. I'll be taking your picture again soon. At your trial.
Sidney? Sidney, why? Why did you play with me? Use me.
Because, my boy, I had to know whether you really killed Marcia or not. Oh, you know, you were right, Ralph. I guess I am in love with the picture.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler. Each Wednesday night at this same time. Brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil, and fine quality automotive accessories. Signal has asked me to remind you, to get the most driving pleasure, drive at sensible speeds, be courteous, and obey traffic regulations. It may save a life. Possibly your own. Featured in tonight's story were Elliot Lewis and Joseph Kearns. The Whistler was produced by George W. Allen, with story by John Monso.
What'd you guys think about that episode? I thought it was a great episode. I love Elliot Lewis. He's just one of the best voice actors from the 40s, I think, ever. Okay, so full spoilers are now in effect. What a fantastically clever and chilling story. The twist isn't just that Ralph murdered Marcia, it's that the 12 portraits were a literal visual diary of his decaying love for her, and Sidney Shelton, the art dealer, read them all like a book. He didn't need a confession. He had a gallery full of evidence, painted in oil and rage. Let's break down this twisted triangle, shall we? Starting with Ralph, he's the perfect Whistler protagonist because his fatal flaw is so human. He's a narcissist. He's so wrapped up in his own genius and his struggle that Marcia stops being a person to him. She becomes an object, then an obstacle. His arc from a man in love to a cold-blooded killer is mapped out on those canvases. I think this story is genius. He doesn't just kill her. He stages it as a suicide, showing a chilling level of calculation. He thinks he's an artist creating his masterpiece, but he's really just painting his own confession.
Then there's Sidney. What a brilliant, amoral character. He's not a hero. He's a connoisseur of sorts. He's fascinated by the story and by the psychology. He sees Ralph's crime not as a tragedy, but as the ultimate marketing angle. He's willing to profit from a murder he strongly suspects had happened, all the while playing along, a cruel game to satisfy his own intellectual curiosity. You know, his falling in love with the idea of Marcia through the portraits is one of the most haunting parts of the story. Is he in love with the victim? No, I don't think so. And it's that detached clinical fascination that ultimately undoes Ralph.
To another episode of The Whistle.
And let's not forget about poor Marcia. Her tragedy is her unwavering faith. She's the one who sets the entire plot in motion by writing to Sidney to help Ralph's career in the first place. In the end, her own act of love is what brings the one man sharp enough to avenge her. Her legacy isn't just one of the portraits, even all of the portraits. It's the trap that closes around her murderer. The moral here isn't as stark as a black canvas. It's about the inescapable truth of art. Ralph thought he could use his talent to create a lie. But his talent was actually betraying his true feelings at every turn. The story argues that you can hide your secrets from people, but you can't hide them from your own work. Art doesn't lie, even when the artist does. And that final setup with the photographer hidden behind the curtain, it's a perfect Whistler ending, poetic justice delivered with a dose of sensationalistic flair. Ralph wanted fame, and oh, did he get it. A brilliant dark look at the intersection of art and crime. That's my take, but I would love to hear yours. Was Sidney a brilliant detective or just another exploiter? Jump in the comments and let me know. You know, I get a lot of comments from fans of The Whistler and people who watch my podcasts and listen to the episodes on my YouTube channel and on Spotify. And I love hearing from you guys. I love how some of you have shared stories of when you were younger, and it just paints such a vivid picture and it keeps this channel alive. This is the reason why I created this channel in the first place, to keep old-time radio alive, and maybe to introduce other people to it who have not had the joy of knowing and listening to it. So I really take a joy in doing this, and I'm not a professional podcaster by any means, but I just love doing this. It's a great artistic outlet for me as well. So as usual, what I do every episode is we see what's happening the day this episode originally aired, which was January 21st, 1948, and what was going on during that week. So in the political development realm, an anti-lynching bill was actually blocked by Southern Democrats, also known as the Dixiecrats, highlighting the ongoing struggle for civil rights and racial justice in America. A cultural milestone, Quebec adopted its official flag, the Fleur de Lis, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that, marking a significant moment in Canadian history as it became the first provincial flag to be officially recognized. In music on the Billboard charts, we have Ballerina by Vaughn Monroe and his orchestra. And this one that cracks me up, The Too Fat Polka by Arthur Godfrey. You know, that picture, it is so hilarious and probably wouldn't be acceptable in today's society for some people. I think it's hilarious, but everyone's really sensitive nowadays, so that might not fly in today's society. And in movies this week, one box office hit called Call Northside 777, featuring Jimmy Stewart. This actually looks like a really good movie, and one that I probably should check out. I'm so behind on a lot of good movies. I can only do one at a time. Other notable films released around this time was The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, featuring Humphrey Bogart, one of my favorite actors, and maybe one of yours, and Irene Dunne in I Remember Mama. I've heard of that movie before, but I have not watched it. Let me know if you have watched that movie. It sounds interesting. Now let's meet one of the actors who was featured in tonight's episode as Ralph Winston, and that's Elliot Lewis, also known as Mr. Radio. Elliot Lewis was born on November 28, 1917 in New York City, and was one of the most prolific and versatile talents in the golden age of radio, earning the well-deserved nickname Mr. Radio. While many actors found a niche, Lewis had a chameleon-like presence across the dial. He is perhaps the most famous for his long-running supporting role as Frankie Remley, the shiftless guitar-playing bandmate on the smash hit The Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. And I need to interject here and say, if you have not listened to that show, I highly recommend it. It is so funny. And Walter Tetley as a supporting role as Julius is priceless. Excellent show. I highly recommend it. Elliot's range was staggering. He could effortlessly shift from comedy to hard-boiled drama, appearing in hundreds of episodes of shows like Suspense, The Whistler, which he has been in quite a few, and Broadway Is My Beat, which you may have not known this, he created and directed, crime classics, and much more. In his later years, Elliot was a novelist writing 7 detective novels about a private investigator and former police officer named Fred Bennett. One of his novels, Death and the Single Girl, was nominated for a Seamus Award for Best Original PI. In 1999, Lewis was nominated for induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame, but was sadly not inducted, which I think is a true crime in of itself. Why he was not inducted is beyond me. He was a master at his craft and should have been recognized as such. Sadly, Elliot Lewis passed away at the young age of 72 due to heart failure on May 23rd, 1990. I have a question for my listeners. Have you ever woke up all hot and sweaty because your sheets got you overheated? If you care about comfort and quality, Cozy Earth delivers. Luxurious sheets, refined linens, and gorgeous upgrades for your entire home. Soft, durable, and impeccably made. And as a listener of this podcast, Cozy Earth is offering you 41% off your entire order. Just use the code at checkout, Wilbur Hatch at CozyEarth.com. This will also be in the show notes in case you forget the code. Well, once again, friends, I hope you enjoyed peeling back the layers with me tonight. Until next time, guard your muse if you're fortunate to have one. Guard your motives and never underestimate your own handiwork and what it might reveal. Good night, friends, and have a wonderful evening.